Psalm 118, verses 1 through 14, these are God's words. O give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel, may I say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron, may I say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear Yahweh now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on Yahweh in distress. Yahweh answered me and set me in a broad place. Yahweh is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Yahweh is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of Yahweh I will destroy them. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of Yahweh I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of Yahweh I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but Yahweh helped me. Yahweh is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The portion of this psalm that we are taking this week falls out fairly easily into three sections, not just joined by theme, but each joined by specific repetitions. You can see in verses 1 through 4, his mercy endures forever, his chesed, his covenanted love, forever. There's not even a verb there. You can see even in the New King James, our English version that we read, the word endures is in italics because it's being supplied. The original is less grammatically smooth, but more abrupt and forceful and rejoicing, and a greater identification between the forever aspect, the ages there, and his chesed, his covenanted love. In the second section, verses 5 through 9, the theme is trusting in Yahweh, and you can see that again in the repetition in verse 8 and verse 9. It is better to trust in Yahweh. It is better to trust in Yahweh. But also verse 5, 6, and 7 are about trusting in Yahweh in the midst of distress and before enemies. And then in the third section, you have the quadruple surrounded me, and then twice in 11, surrounded me, and then in verse 12, surrounded me like bees. And then you have the triple, in the name of Yahweh I will destroy them. And the last part of verse 10, the last part of verse 11, last part of verse 12. And so we have these three sections, and this his covenanted love forever section in verses 1 through 4 describes the response of the Lord's people, the response of the redeemed, as thankfulness. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. And so we have thankfulness because his steadfast love, or his covenanted love, endures forever. This is what all his creatures owe him. He is Yahweh, the I Am, the Creator, the self-existent one, the one who is independent. Everything else is dependent upon him. And so since his covenanted love is actually an expression of the goodness that is inherent to him in his self-existence, all the creatures that depend on him for their existence owe him glory for his goodness, the greatest expression of which is his covenanted love to his people who have been loved from within the decree of God before the worlds began in the Son of God. And so this is the great thing for which all creatures will praise him forever. You can even see the four living creatures and the great worship throng of heaven in Revelation 5, they join in the song that is really led by the redeemed, because they say, for you have redeemed us by your blood and made us kings and priests to our God. So all creatures praise him for his goodness, because his steadfast love endures forever. This is the reason and one of the great ends of your church membership. Let Israel, may I say, his steadfast love endures forever. If God has gathered you into his holy people and put the name of his covenant people on you, this is one great reason that you would declare his steadfast love endures forever. This was the purpose of the officers of the church. Let the house of Aaron now say, the worship leaders. This is what Jesus, in his great high priesthood, which obsoletes Aaron's, the priesthood of Aaron's house. We are singing Psalm 22, the end of Psalm 22, this month, and our Psalm of the month, that joy that was set before the Lord Jesus in gathering to himself from all the earth, those who give thanks to the Lord for his goodness under the worship leadership of Jesus. And as our high priest in Hebrews 2, he leads us in singing God's praise for his steadfast love. And so our participation then in his priesthood and the priesthood of all believers exists for the declaration of his steadfast love forever, among other things, but this is one of the great ends of it. This is what we do every time we gather, not just as now a function of our church membership, but as a function of our drawing near, like the priests drew near when we come in the worship assemblies on the Lord's Day. And so that's something you can pray as you sit in the pew and are composing your heart and getting ready, and even by secret prayer, prepare for the worship of God and the few seconds that we get to do that between announcing things and recitations and then the beginning of the service. You could pray, oh Lord, help me remember and know your steadfast love, your covenanted love in Jesus, so that my heart and my mouth will declare it now in the worship. And if not only then, and we bled into this a little bit, not only do you have covenant membership for which you should declare the steadfast love of the Lord being forever, and this priestly drawing near and gathering in the worship in which you should declare his covenanted love forever. But these are to be matched by a spiritual living work in the heart. Verse 4, let those who fear Yahweh now say, well, what is one of the great ends of that work that he does in our hearts? That not just then with the lips and not just in propriety to the covenant status he has given us, but as an expression of the saving work that he's done in our hearts and minds, we should say his steadfast love, his covenanted love forever. So that's the first part. The life of the redeemed should be one of thankfulness, especially the thankfulness of declaring the eternality of his steadfast love in his worship. And then in verses 5 through 9, in that middle section, the life of the redeemed is one of trust. Trust prays, trust refuses to fear, and trust refuses to trust in anything else. I called on Yahweh in distress. So trust doesn't grin and bear it in distress. No, trust responds to distress or by crying out to God in our distress. Trust then also refuses to fear. It doesn't say be distressed at nothing or be grieved at nothing or be pained at nothing. But it does say be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With the response from the first four verses, make your requests known to God. I called on Yahweh in distress. Our distresses are opportunities to see again, experience again, by how he acts and how he responds, that the Lord is with us Yahweh is on my side, verse 6. Yahweh is for me among those who help me. He might have, and he has, given us other helps and other helpers who are with us, but the great one who is with us is the Lord, and he can never be taken from us. You get married, your husband may die. At some point, your father may die. You may have other helpers who are taken away by apostatizing or moving or a life event or whatever it is. The Lord will never be taken from you, and he is your great help. And that is why the section ends with this double: it is better to trust in Yahweh than to put your confidence in any man or all men, verse 8, or in the best of men, the most able. And we hope, and the implication is, the most able and the most noble. So put your trust in the Lord alone. The sort of trust that is due to the Lord is not a trust that is divided with others. We trust in him to be for us, so that we will say with Romans 8:31, if he is for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? So thankfulness, because his covenant of love endures forever. Trust, because he is our help, which overrules all fear. And then verses 10 through 14, triumph. And this comes especially in union with Christ, because it is really about Jesus that verse 10 is true. It was sort of true in a historical way of King David. It wasn't literally every nation on the earth against King David, but he had an experience similar to this, because he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was surrounded by enemies. The Lord gave him triumph over them all. And in that, he is a picture of Jesus, all of whose enemies are being made a footstool for his feet. And we see especially in Revelation 19, the gathering of all of his enemies from the four corners of the earth. And just as there are those who belong to Christ out of every tongue and tribe and nation, so also there are enemies from among all of the nations. And yet, because he is Yahweh, and the name of Yahweh is displayed in the Lord Jesus and on the Lord Jesus, the great David's greater son, to use the language or ideas of Psalm 110 also, he will, as the display of Yahweh, in the name of Yahweh, destroy the enemies that surround him. So that even though they surround him like a swarm of bees in that great assembly that we see in Revelation 19, they are all destroyed with the sword that comes from his mouth. He is the one, by himself, who triumphs over all of his and our enemies. And indeed, this fire of thorns quenching them corresponds to the picture of the lake of fire, the great fire whose burning will never end. And so there is this triumph that belongs to the Lord Jesus. But because we belong to God in the Lord Jesus, it belongs to us as well. And the songs of Christ's victory are the songs of our victory. And the strength of Christ's victory is our strength. And the salvation that Christ has accomplished is ours. And Christ, being Yahweh the Son, he is our strength, our song, our salvation. And so we triumph in the name of Yahweh. Christ destroys all of his and our enemies. So, very, very basic at one level. What is the life of the redeemed like? It is a life of thankfulness. It is a life of trust. It is a life of triumph. But as we understand each of those things, thankfulness in and for and through the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in and upon and through the Lord Jesus Christ, triumph in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahweh in the flesh. It takes us and he makes us thankful and trusting and triumphing. Praise God. Let's pray. And thank you, Lord, for giving us such songs to sing, especially as even the wording reminds us that they can only be sung in union with Jesus. Help us, by your Spirit, stir up our faith in him, that we will live lives of thankfulness and trust and triumph. We thank you for worship times in particular, and how they especially are times of thankfulness and trust and triumph. We pray that you would give us by your Spirit to do so through Christ in those times, and shape the rest of our life by those times. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.